Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my ride.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. December is upon us. Happy Pearl Harbor Day to everyone, and the holiday season is upon us.
Yes, man, and I love it. Don Newsom, our engineer, you are brilliant, my friend, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Regulators, the song that we start this show off with. Sean Wally, and I know that you are chomping at the bit. You were giggling just before we got on the air, and you cannot wait to boast with your braggadocious attitude for the Seattle Seahawks regulating against the Minnesota Vikings. Wow.
Man, I don't know who you were talking to, but I don't recall giggling, and I don't recall being braggadocious or even saying a word about my team. But
You know what, Sean? You don't have to, because you've been my boy for the longest, and I know you. And it's funny, because we don't even have to be in the same room. And this is the cool thing. Our listeners don't understand the kismet that we have. But you cannot wait. And you can try to be as humble as you want. Our listeners know, I know, that you can't wait. And I hope that Rod Simons is listening, because who knows, man, he might call the show. So talk about regulating. Be careful, Sean. But, man, the Seattle Seahawks put a thumping on the Minnesota Vikings, and it was a whooping beyond belief. And, you know, if there was ever a time for Hawks Nation or whatever you call yourselves, the 12s up there, hey, be proud, because it looks like the Seattle Seahawks are back. And that was a great, great showing yesterday.
Yeah, Sean, I don't even need to say much, because you're doing it for me. You're doing a great job from the apparently a new member of the NorCal Seahawks Booster Club, the Seahawkers. But goodness, you know, it's nice to see the national perspective starting to change their tune. And of course, a few weeks ago, two months ago, it was, whoa, this team's 2-4. What's going on? There's no way they're getting back to the Super Bowl, let alone maybe not even making the playoffs. Yet here they show up in Minnesota, taking on a team that is 8-3 coming into Sunday. And Minnesota looked anything but an 8-win team.
So what do we accredit this to? I mean, because what, you know, when you talked to me before the game, you know, and I said, you know what, Sean, I don't know. You asked me for a prediction. I said, I do not know, because, you know, if Adrian Peterson has a great game and, you know, their defense does well, you know, Minnesota could win. If Russell Wilson does well and Seattle's defense plays well, then Seattle wins. You know, and neither happened for the Vikings. Their defense didn't show. Adrian Peterson didn't show. It was an utter dominant football game in Minnesota, which we thought would be in Minnesota's favor, since it was snowing all week and the elements were against Seattle, and none of that stuff seemed to matter. Which brings the question, even though Seattle is not the number one seed, are they the team to be reckoned with in the NFC?
Well, I don't know who wants to play them at this point. You look at the last 3 weeks alone, Russell Wilson himself is on fire. You know, I almost want you to find your Staples button, because
that was easy.
It absolutely was very, very easy. And it almost makes you scratch your head and get a little frustrated with the early part of the season in Seattle, because nothing came easy. Nothing looked easy. and other teams were making things look easy that they were able to do to Seattle. And now they're turning the tide, changing the ship's course of direction. And now's the time you want to do that when it's December, the playoffs are within reach, and this is when you want to be playing good, if not great, ball. And you look at the other top teams, yeah, Carolina's still undefeated, but they barely got a win in New Orleans, which is not an easy place to play, but come on, New Orleans is not a good team. And it's definitely, you look at Seattle's schedule, they have the next few weeks easy games. Should be easy three victories. I know any given Sunday, but look, you've got Baltimore this next Sunday. After that, you're returning home for the Browns. Come on. And then you end your home season with the Rams, who are just an abysmal mess. And then week 17, the only game that should be close is another battle with the Cardinals, who, depending on how they fare in the next 3 weeks, might be resting a lot of their players as the number one, number two, or number three seed in the conference.
And, you know, you mentioned some great points here. And, of course, we will definitely talk about those because I want to touch base with you, Sean, on this, the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. And so we will get to that. But let's go out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and bring in our first guest here on the double. And that is none other than Chet Buchanan from KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas. Chet, how you doing today, man?
What's happening, boys? No, let's not stop this conversation. Let's talk about the Carolina Panthers. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. Let's just keep that rolling. Where am I going? I'm living on top of a 30-foot scaffold for 12 days. I got all the time in the world. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, Chet, man, it's a pleasure having you on. And for our listeners that don't know, you're doing a tremendous thing right now with the KLUC Toy Drive. And there's some big things happening, man. I'm looking at pictures online. I see scaffolds, as you're saying. I see bicycles all over the place. There's going to be a Christmas somewhere for some awesome kids in Las Vegas, man. You're doing some awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the 17th year of this. I've done 15 of them. I left for a couple of years in the middle and went back up to the Northwest. And so at the end of this toy drive, I'll have lived 6 months of my life on a 30-foot scaffold just like the one I'm on right now. Last year, we filled 29 semi-trucks full of toys. We had 5,146 bikes. We had $322,092 in cash and gift cards. And, you know, we're almost approaching the halfway point now. Everybody comes at the end. It's always crazy to see, you know, how it's going to turn out. And it's fun. I mean, so we've got about 900 and some odd bikes now, and we're working on the third truck, and we've got 125, yeah, $121,000. Walgreens came through with 106 grand earlier today. So, like I said, everybody comes through at the end, and it'll be fun to see how this one turns out.
Now, Chet, a lot of people don't know about the behind the scenes. They see, you know, they probably listen to the commercials. They maybe see a commercial or two on TV and go, man, Chet is living the dream. But there is a lot of work, as you're explaining here, and putting this together. Do you have to take a lot of downtime after this is all over?
No, man. We take the end of the year anyway because we're not in a ratings period, and it's just that's just kind of how it works. But, it's camping. I always tell everybody it's kind of inconvenient at best. I'm not trying to set any sort of endurance records, but by the same token, I'm not up here, you know, watching Sports Center and just hanging out. We have thousands of people that come here and donate. You know, we tell everybody just one toy, one bike, one gift card. And so I kind of feel like it's my obligation to make sure that every one of those people at least gets a thank you. My part of it, I'm just trying to give people, I'm trying to do something that other people would not do so that people will see that and then they'll go, oh, I'll go help out. And that's really all the scaffold part of it is.
Chet, what are some of the most touching stories you can think of off the top of your head that people maybe that have helped and donated, and also people that have been impacted positively by the KLUC toy drive?
Well, there's stories. There's 100 of them a day of people that, I mean, you know, that we hear from families that are like, hey, I've donated for the last 10 years and this year I need help, or vice versa. You know, hey, we needed help last year. We had medical bills that popped up and our kids weren't going to have a Christmas. And I'm so proud to say that we're going to donate. But the one story that I always tell everybody, the real turning point, the part where I know that toy drive kind of kicked into gear and where it really hit home for me, on the last day when it's all over, I kind of have to give a speech. You know, I gotta tell people something. And I'm sitting there kind of on the edge, just kind of dangling my feet over, and I'm watching the people come in and out. And it's like the final scene from It's a Wonderful Life. You know, everybody, the music's playing and everybody's laughing, and, you know, the people that are going out are high-fiving the people that are coming in, and it's all amazing. And then I see this, it looks like they're pushing a shopping cart full of coats, you know, or whatever. And so I just figured, well, the people are bringing in their stuff and they just need a place to put their coats. And then as they get closer, I realize that is not a shopping cart. It's actually a wheelchair. And in that wheelchair is a little girl who she can't walk, you know, and I mean, that's how she's got to get around. And they brought her over. Now understand, we call it a sea of bikes. And you guys have seen the pictures online. There really is a sea of bikes. And there's just, I mean, it's amazing to be able to also see from the ground level. And they bring the little girl over there and they show her the bikes. She goes nuts. Arms and legs and just laughing. And I thought, if that's what a bike means to a kid that will never ride a bike, then what does that mean to a kid who didn't have a bike? And, you know, and just everybody. And while I'm telling that story, I know for a fact that you guys are right now thinking about what bike you had, and everybody who's listening, thinking about that bike that you loved as a kid, and you're, you know, hitting those pedals so hard that you think your legs are going to fly off. You think that thing might take flight, you know, and that's the cool part. And it really meant, you know, it was very meaningful. And I tell that story all the time.
Chet, how much work goes on behind the scenes in the offices by not only employees of the radio station, but volunteers to make this giant toy drive happen?
Yeah, it's months. I mean, it is, but I mean, we're in our 17th one now. Now it's just going down the list of phone calls. All right, you're going to build the scaffold? Yep. You know, you guys going to bring the lights? Yep. You know, certainly because I work, you know, for a company, they've certainly found a way to monetize it, but it's a good thing. I mean, we are able to, then we're able to use that money to make this bigger and better every year. And I mean, and to help even more people. I mean, at the end of the day, we end up helping about 15,000 families. It's upwards of 50,000 kids. It's impactful. I say that without ego and without, I mean, I just say it because I'm proud of it. It's impactful.
Chet Buchanan of KLUC 98.5 FM in Las Vegas joining us here on The Double. Now, Chet, as you do this tremendous act in Las Vegas and, of course, helping out tremendous kids, you still find the time. So we're going to take this pivot here. I'm looking, and you're wearing the Hustle Like Russell T-shirt representing
you know
the 12s, brother. And so this game that happened on Sunday. Now, I don't know if you were listening last week. We had Rod Simons on. Of course, you know Rod Simons, formerly a KSTW up in Seattle. Now he's in Minnesota. He's doing some great things there. Man, he has made a full turn to be a Minnesota Vikings. How big was this game for you watching this? And I'm sure you had the TV up there on the scaffold. The wind's blowing. It's cold, the whole nine. But what was the feeling?
You know what? I was trying to watch the game on my phone, and because it was the main game of the week because it was on the Fox affiliate here, I wasn't able to stream it. So I'm having to watch Red Zone, and then my pretty. You guys know Harrison Wood, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Harrison's done some stuff for us on the show here.
Harrison was running the board back in the studio, And then I'm watching Red Zone Channel on my phone, and then he kept going. He kept saying in the speaker, he'd be like, 7-0, 14-0, 21-0. And then, and I'm trying to do my thing and kind of pay attention. And I'm not going to lie. I was concerned about this game going into Minnesota. I mean, the Vikings have been good all season long. They're really tough at home. I really thought that this was going to be a difficult matchup for the Hawks. And tell you what, man, they got it rolling. And the one thing that I don't see anybody talking about is, has anybody noticed that right after some people started publicly calling Russell out, I mean, for real, not just fans and not just bloggers, but I mean, like people like the Doug Baldwins of the world and Pete Carroll and some other folks. I mean, there were some comments that just said, well, you know, Russell's trying, you know, maybe he's a little off his game. People started questioning his work ethic. People started questioning his dedication. I love Russell. And I even said, hey, look, you get a new girl, you're going to spend time with that girl. Your brain is going to be elsewhere. Russell's on fire.
Yeah, it's not just any girl, Chet. Well, let's get that straight.
Yeah, but you know what? But that's his girl. And the part that we forget is it's still all people. It's still all life. And so, you got your girl and she's got a kid and now you spend time with a kid and now you spend time with a girl and all that other kind of stuff. I mean, at some point, it did have to change his focus, even if it's ever so slightly. But I think after that, really, Russell saw that and he heard that. And he went, I can't let that happen. And he's been money.
You know, Chet, you mentioned an interesting point, because a lot of the times, you know, the status quo thing to say is that, oh, the players don't really listen to the media, or they're not watching, or they're not reading the paper clippings. That is an out and out lie, because at being at the games, for one, the Jumbotrons are on. And there's always something going on. I mean, when I was in the locker rooms yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders, guess what? They had ESPN on. They were listening to what the prognosticators were saying. So when fans, because you'd mentioned some of the 12s, when the fans try to say, oh, well, you know, he's not thinking about that. Yes, he is thinking about that. The great thing about Russell Wilson is he did something about it. He turned that negative into a positive. He's shutting up the people and making it work. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, it's what I love about him. He's a fierce competitor. He's a smart guy. And now, do I think that Russell is, you know, Googling himself? No. Do I think that Russell, you know, seeks that out? No, but I'm certain that at some point it got into his head. How can it not? I mean, I know when people are talking about me, and not that I'm saying I'm Russell Wilson or whatever, but I mean, there's always a lot of stuff swirling around. You know what's being said about you. You know what people think, even if they're not saying it to you directly. You know how people feel about you, and that's just human nature. So I just love is that we're rolling. I don't know if you saw what Fox Sports said today. They were like, there's no question that the Hawks are a player to be in their third Super Bowl in a row. And it's exciting times right now.
Chet, what do you make of the fact that two supposed top-tier guys at their position, Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, and Jimmy Graham, are gone, and now the team seems to be clicking on all cylinders?
Do I attach any significance? Is that what you're asking me?
Exactly. Do you think that has anything to do with what's going on now?
I think there might be a little something to the fact that here are the two things I think. Number one, I think that now that they're not trying to force the ball to Jimmy Graham, which is weird because tight end's always been a big part of the Seahawk offense. So it's weird that people talk about, well, they're trying to force the ball to Jimmy Graham. But I'm guessing that was something that was happening. The deal with Thomas Rawls, Thomas Rawls wants a job. Thomas Rawls wants to be the running back. Thomas Rawls is like, this is my shot. This is my chance to be the man. And he also knows how it works in the Seahawk organization. Competition Wednesday, always compete. I mean, you know, and he wants to make a case to say, hey, just like Russell came in a few years ago when Matt Flynn was the guy, he was the guy that the Seahawks paid all the money to, Russell came in and took the job. Thomas Rawls wants to take the job. It's fun.
Chet, the rest of the Seahawks schedule, not too many teams scare people on their schedule. They've got Baltimore, Cleveland, the Rams coming up, and the season finale with the Cardinals, which may or may not even matter in the standings.
Yeah, well, guess where I'll be on January 3rd? I will be in Phoenix, man. There's no quite, well, I got a buddy up here that his family has had Cardinals season tickets in the club level for a number of years, and he usually swings through during toy drive and very quietly. One of the great technological advancements of our time is I have a rope and bucket that hangs off the side of the scaffold so that people don't have to come up here to bring me stuff. We just put it in the bucket and I pull it up by the rope, and he will just literally walk over, stick the tickets and the parking pass in the bucket. He will wave. He will walk over, hand a check to the people from the charity, and he will walk out. And that's it. So I'm hoping I see Dr. Ben coming soon, because I want to be there on, whether it's meaningful or not, on January 3rd, I don't know. The part you guys were talking about that earlier. Don't you think at some point, though, that the Cardinals are, I don't know, it's dumb to say that they're going to want to send a message, but I don't see them just laying down and going, well, you know what, we'll head into the playoffs to stay healthy or whatever. I feel like they're going to want to play hard.
Yeah, Chet, and man, you're mentioning something that I've been trying to get to Sean Wally, because Sean is there's no bigger fan in the 12s than Sean. I'm trying to explain to him that Arizona is not the laydown that he thinks that they are. Even though right now Arizona won that first game, and we know that, but Arizona, they are that type of team to kind of hold a grudge and say, hey, you know, we thought we should have done this last year. This year is our year. So that's one of the games that I think is really important.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I mean, you know, we'll know when it gets to it. Obviously Seattle's going to be really playing hard and driving to, you know, it may come down to that last weekend for a wild card. I hope it doesn't. But, I mean, who knows? We may end up seeing that Shelton kid for Arizona, and you know, he's actually playing for the Seahawks. Yeah, I mean, you know, it might all be that, and that will just affect my level of alcohol consumption. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that's going to change out. Because if the game doesn't mean anything, then I'm just going to be screaming, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if the Shelton kid's in there, obviously Seattle's going to tee off a little bit. I mean, the guy was dancing up and down the sidelines up in Seattle as if he was the one that was throwing the passes. So I'm sure there's a little bit of bulletin board material if he comes into the game.
Yeah, but, dude, listen, anyway, I played a little high school ball. that's what scrubs do. That's, you know, if you're the one, if you're on the sideline, you're jumping up and down. That's what scrubs do. I don't think, you know, I don't see Richard Sherman going, man, I hope that Shelton guy's in there. You know, I mean, I see them going, man, that guy's a clown, whatever.
That's what I saw. I saw, man, what a clown. But if he gets on the field, he's mine. So, you know, either way, it could be important. So hold off on that alcohol consumption, because you might see something great and you wouldn't want to miss it.
I'm interested, too. Can Carolina keep this rolling? They just seem to have mojo. And what's funny is that, you know, I mean, it really is. Cam is just on. He's incredible. Like, where has this guy been?
Right. You know, and here's the thing about Carolina that, again, this is a team that, you know, let's face it, year in and year out have given Seattle fits. You know, with the exception of last year, the second game last year. I mean, every time Seattle plays Carolina, it's 12-10, 12-7, 13-9, or something like that. Now they have an explosive offense. They have Cam Newton as the quarterback. This undefeated season means something to these guys, and there's a little bit of a swag there that's different. This isn't a laydown team either. What I like about Carolina, guys, is this, even though they won a game yesterday that was 41-38, and people can say, oh my gosh, the team scored 38 points. The key is that the Carolina Panthers found a way to win differently than normal. And that should scare the NFL, you know, because it, you know, if they can find different ways to win, that's a team to really, you know, take seriously.
Well, and also at this point too, with the Seahawks, and bring it back around to the Seahawks. When everybody at the beginning of the year was going, "Oh, it's a really bad season. Oh, the Hawks, they don't look so great." We had the lead in the fourth quarter every single game. It's yes, did they dump some? Was it hard to watch? Was it difficult? All of those things, yes. But it wasn't like we were getting blown out. So there was a part of me that went, "Gosh, you know, the ball bounces a little bit. You know, you get a bounce here, you get a call there." And maybe we were the ones who at the time would be 6-0 or 7-0. So I mean, it's just it's a funny game, and I like the idea that the Seahawks are peaking right now. I like the idea that the 49ers suck, and I, and we'll see how it a lot like Toy Drive this year. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. There's great expectations, but you never know. You got to play all the way to the end.
Now, Chet, a couple weeks ago on Facebook, there surfaced an awesome, awesome video of yourself on the mic in Seattle at Cube 93 from what? Circa 93, 94?
That was awesome.
The 93.
That was awesome.
When Not in Our House was about to drop the Sonic song. Take us back to your thoughts back in the day.
Oh, no. You know what? That was really cool. That video was from Art Volo, who's a guy who is far and wide known as radio's best friend. And he literally for many, many years since the 70s has just traveled the country filming radio shows and then selling them, selling the tapes. And the guy loves radio more than anybody I know. And I thought I loved radio, and he loves it a lot. And just he came in on a Saturday morning when I was doing the Seattle Top 30 Countdown, and that video surfaced. The Not in Our House thing was so cool because Mix-a-Lot had just busted out big not that much earlier with Baby Got Back, and he agreed to be on the track. And then we had Gary Payton. All I remember was Gary there. I want to say Kendall Gill. There was somebody. There was another guy that was kind of a bit player for the Sonics. And we were in a studio, you know, in Seattle, just did basically everything in two sessions. Mix had done a lot of his tracks up at his house. And then, we got the players together. Mix laid down some more tracks, I think more for context than anything else. And then it was just a really cool day. I always thought Not in Our House was a lot cooler than it was, maybe, and I always thought it was going to be the biggest thing ever, and I guess it had a fair amount of notoriety. But those, man, what fun times back in the 90s with the Sonics, huh?
Oh man!
If only they would one day return.
They will return. Trust me, guys. Yeah, they are going to be back.
I'm sorry. Was there a question that I missed?
Oh no! I was. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was waiting for you to respond. I was just saying no. There, one day they will be back in Seattle.
No, I believe that too. I really do believe that too. And especially now that that David Stern is out, and I don't know what kind of grudge he necessarily held against the Sonics. You know, I still will not. I will not go to a Starbucks on purpose. Because Howard Schultz can, you know what he can do. I really do believe, though, that one day there will be an NBA team back in Seattle. The Oklahoma City Thunder do not talk about, they're trying to win their second championship in franchise history. No, when you went to Oklahoma City and you called that team the Thunder, you ceased being part of that franchise history. You know what I mean? Spencer Haywood, Freddie Brown, all the way up to the guys that Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. Those guys are not you. You do not get to carry that with you. You do get to be Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. You actually, you know what, Kevin Durant? Yeah, you got him like after we already warmed him up for you. But I mean, the rest of that, you don't get to take credit for that. You don't get to be a part of that. That's ours, not yours.
Chet Buchanan, 30 feet up in the air on a scaffold in Las Vegas at the KLUC Toy Drive.
Chet, what is the biggest need as you get down to, what, you got another week left up there on the scaffold?
Isn't that funny? I got a week, but I'm already, because the numbers are so great, and again, if the goal is to get one more toy, one more bike, and one more gift card, I start stressing about it now, like, oh my God, we've only got another week. We take anything you want. And honestly, if you're listening right now and you're not in Las Vegas, which I'm guessing 99.999% of the listeners are, you can go to help, S-O-N-V, helpsouthernnevada.org, helpsonv.org, and you can make a cash donation on their website. So, if you want to help that way, God, we would love it. And I mean, listen, I've been in Las Vegas for a long time, and this is truly my home, but I will always, always, always be a Seattle kid. There's no two ways about it.
Well, Chet, last question for you. I know you got to run for your live hit on KLUC. What does the wife think of you being gone for 2 weeks living on a scaffold? Is this a vacation for her?
She acts like it's a big pain in the ass, but I don't know. Yeah, I think she's doing fine. It's tough for her. It's probably tougher for her than it is for me. I've been doing this a long time. I know what this is. I know that we're here to do a job. This is a business trip. And so I'm pretty focused and I'm a guy who likes to be on the radio and I'm a guy who likes to have a goal. And so I've got that here. For her, life still goes on and so, it's not easy on her, but I love her for it. She sticks it out, and she's here every day and says hello. So, I just, like I told her a little bit earlier, just another week.
Chet Buchanan live from Las Vegas. Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo on KLUC, the KLUC Toy Drive. And Chet, we'll let you run, but we'll send you out to one of your favorite songs of all time. Of course, that would be Not in Our House from Mix-a-Lot and the Sonics that Chet had a minor part in. Thanks so much for your time, Chet. Keep up the good work at KLUC Toy Drive.
Always seriously, awesome,
happy,
Chet.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and seriously, can we do this more often?
Man, would love to. Would love to. We'll talk, just before the playoffs, and because I think that there's going to be some great things happening for the Seahawks, no doubt.
Anytime, anywhere, you call me, I'll be there.
Thanks so much. Chet Buchanan in Las Vegas.
All right, guys.
Man, it's always good having Chet on, man. That's some good stuff. And for those of you, those of our listeners who do want to help out, you can go to helpsonv.org to help out with the Toy Drive, KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas. Sean Wally, it's always good to have Chet on the show, man.
Man, he's got to be top three as one of our favorite guests for sure because of all the Seattle ties and, us knowing of him 20, 25 years ago when he was on air in Seattle. We heard his voice all the time, also down in Portland back in the day. And, he's been in Vegas a long time, but still gets back to Seattle as much as he can. And as we know, a big Seattle Seahawk fan, and he's doing amazing things with the KLUC Toy Drive.
Well, yeah, not just a Seahawk fan. He's Seattle everything. And so, you can hear it in the passion in his voice when he was talking about Howard Schultz and what he can do. And I think we have the answer. He is making red blank cups. So how about that? And, of course, Amy, his lovely wife, Amy, being there and standing in the gap with him on the toy drive. And so, it's some awesome stuff for Chet to take this time out to be on the show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return next, we're going to open up those phone lines. You can call into the show, 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit PowerAlleyPerformance.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
With the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame, yeah. And the world's gonna know your name, yeah. Cause you're burning with the brush flame, yeah.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. Sean, Chep, you can, and always great to have on the show our guest tonight here on the Double.
Man, I love having Chet on. He's one of the family. And, you know, the cool thing is the energy that he brings. You know, when he comes on to the show as a guest and the things that he does in the community. And his morning show in Las Vegas is rocking. You know, it's nothing different than, you know, what we grew up on up in Seattle with Cube 93. And, you know, Chet's the man, Sean.
All right, Sean. We've talked a bit about the Seahawks and Vikings. Let's wrap that talk up, and then we can switch to a game that you worked at O.co. So let's get, you talked about it initially right out the gate, at least your impressions of the game. Were you shocked, surprised at the outcome? What are your thoughts 24 hours later?
Man, I'm very shocked, to be honest with you. I thought that this was a chance for the Minnesota Vikings to actually prove that they are a team to be reckoned with. And, you know, again, at kickoff, I didn't know. I thought, well, you know, it's going to be a close game. It might be something like, you know, 21-23, or, you know, maybe the defense is struggling. Then maybe somebody opens it up in the end. It didn't happen that way. So, you know, I'm out on the field at O.co in Oakland. And the next thing you know, you know, one of my coworkers says, hey, man, Seattle's up 7-0. I was like, oh, okay. And then no more than 2 minutes later, it's like, oh, 14-0, then 21-0, then 28. And I'm like, my goodness, what in the world is going on? And, you know, we saw the red zone, looked up on the Jumbotron and watched the red zone for a little bit. And it was just a field day, man. And you know, you can accredit it to a lot of things, but, you know, Chet mentioned one key thing, and that was ever since Russell Wilson had a little bit of turmoil or turbulence in his life, what was said to be that in his life, and to where people were questioning his dedication, man, he has turned it on big time. 21-27 for 274 yards and 3 TDs. It's flawless football. Thomas Rawls as well, 19 carries, 101 yards. He is playing like somebody that has, you know, a heavy heart and light pockets. And, you know, he does want the starting job. And I believe that he feels that he should have that starting job. And, you know, Marshawn Lynch's days, I believe, are numbered in Seattle. So, you know, the Seahawks did an awesome job. And I can't leave out Doug Baldwin. My God. You know, there are a lot of people on fantasy that dropped Doug Baldwin because, let's face it, he was playing horrible, Sean Wally. And over the past four games, he has been playing Pro Bowl-like football and showing that he is also, you know, a player to be reckoned with as well. So hats off to the Seattle Seahawks and that offensive line. Got to give it to them as well for getting things together.
Well, a few weeks ago, back before this 5-1 winning streak the Seahawks have gone on, 5 out of 6 games, Trent Dilfer of ESPN and, of course, former Seahawk quarterback, he basically lit into Wilson on air on ESPN and said he's missing wide open receivers. He's throwing the ball high. He said Doug Baldwin is open on every play. So there is not a cornerback that can blanket Baldwin. He's that good of a route runner. He's that disciplined. And now look at what's happening when they're actually opening up the offense. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, needs to get some praise because when the execution is not there and the team loses, everybody hates on the play caller, who is Daryl Bevel and the offensive coordinator. Well, now things are going great, so he needs to get a standing ovation and some praise.
Yeah, you know, but one of the things that Chet was talking about as well was that, you know, maybe a couple of injuries helped this team out, helped the continuity of this team. When you lean heavily on Marshawn Lynch, and we talked about this from the end of the last play of last year all the way up to the point where Seattle started winning again, we put a heavy onus on Marshawn Lynch carrying this football team. Well, since then, Marshawn has been hurt, been nicked up a little bit. You had Graham that has been injured as well. And I believe what that does is that allows the quarterback to be the quarterback, that allows Bevel to be the coordinator and to spread the wealth. And that can only help your team. And when you do things like that, when you control time of possession and you can move the football up and down the field and you can have 3 and outs on defense, then that's a recipe for success, no doubt. And Seattle's doing it.
Well, on Sunday, you were working once again for, I believe, CBS Sports, the Chiefs invading the black hole of O.co. How was it working once again for CBS Sports?
Well, you know, it's always great to have a job, whether it's with CBS or Fox or ESPN, NBC, you name it. So it's fun. What's even more fun for me is to get a chance to work at, you know, the place where I grew up loving my favorite team in the Oakland Raiders. Now, boy, if you're an Oakland Raiders fan, you know, you're going to go through some ups and downs. And this past weekend was one of those down parts, you know. And, you know, to all my Raider Nation who are listening and, you know, feel like it's a horrible, horrible time, before we go down that road, let's think of where we were. And, you know, last year you're looking at a 3-13 team. You're looking at a team that it just seemed like it was continuing to spiral into an abysmal nowhere. You know, they started out, you know, they started slow and it looked like things were not going to get any better. But, you know, the cool part is that we have a team that is competitive and it hurt. You know, Kansas City comes in, they came in with a 6-5 record. You know, we felt like, you know, with a 5-6 record, we can get ourselves into playoff contention. And it didn't happen. It just didn't happen, you know. But I'm telling my Raider Nation faithful, you know, things are definitely looking up. It's not a 3-13 season. There are a lot of benefits that are going on. Derek Carr, Sean Wally, if you would have saw Derek Carr, I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the game yesterday, but Derek looked like Derek in the beginning. And then in the second half, I don't know who that quarterback was, but those are the growing pains that you're going to have in a second-year quarterback, along with a rookie as a wide receiver who's going to be phenomenal, and an up-and-coming running back in Latavius Murray. So with that trio, along with the pieces that they put in place on offense, They're going to be good. It just, you know, it sucks right now. It sucks to take another L, and, you know, but yet and still, it was a great atmosphere.
So Carr's struggles in the second half, it's probably a combination of both. You were there, saw it firsthand. Was it more his mistakes or the Kansas City Chiefs defense, which really, they've got a great defense. The team has won, what, 6 in a row now? The hottest team in terms of most wins in a row in the NFL.
You know, but they're beatable. You know, I mean, 6-5, that was a middle-of-the-road team, regardless of them winning 5 in a row, now 6 in a row. They're a team that's beatable. And one of the things that we all know is that when you're playing a divisional rival, those things go out the window. The Raiders were in this game all the way up until, you know, things started to unravel. And you asked if it was Derek Carr's, does he take an onus, or does the Kansas City Chiefs defense play a role in it? I would probably say, you know, more so that Derek Carr knows that he could have played a better football game. He could have played a better football game, you know. With our defense is out to lunch. Week in and week out, there's always something that's breaking down. Our defensive backs are dismal, and we need to work on those things. Now, granted, we've added some key players that I think are up and coming. We added Emerson from the Washington Redskins at corner, and he is doing a phenomenal job at DB. Of course, you have the ever so young, ageless Charles Woodson that's back there doing some awesome things. Khalil Mack on defense. But there are some things that the Raiders need to do on defense that, like, to solidify a pass rush. They just don't have that. And once they get those key players in place, which I believe in Reggie McKenzie, you know, there are some murmurs. There were some murmurs in Raider Nation that, gosh, McKenzie just doesn't know what's going on. No, that dude knows exactly what's going on. And our team's going to be better for that moving forward. Sean, I wish you could have been there. I wish you could have been at O.co to hear the roar of the crowd. I mean, you know, I know that the 12s have been touting that crowd noise since they started winning a few years back. But, man, I'm telling you, when the Raider Nation gets rocking at O.co, there's nothing like it. There is, when you see a movement in a sea of black that's just swaying back and forth, and you see the decibel levels up at 109, 110, that is amazing. And, you know, I know that Kansas City felt that. It was just that Oakland unraveled themselves, the offense sputtered, and some mistakes were made. But, yeah, we're going to be okay.
Of course, always, every week, there seems to be new news with what may or may not happen in Los Angeles with the NFL. And the Rams owner has come out and said he will gladly share a stadium with either the Raiders or the Chargers.
So this has been our Achilles heel all year, is what's going to happen with the Oakland Raiders. Are they going to stay in Oakland? Are they moving down to Los Angeles? For those on the outside looking in who would like nothing more but to stick it to Oakland, just because that just seems to be the thing to do. They want to send Oakland to Los Angeles. Well, good old Roger Goodell comes in, and you know, this guy, you know, I can't gauge him, you know, sometimes. So he's leaving this up to the owners, Sean Wally. This is the guy that's supposed to be advocating for the owners, but he leaves it to the owners to make a decision on whether San Diego and Oakland should marry and share a stadium down in Carson, or, you know, should the St. Louis Rams come in and open up their stadium in Inglewood? And then now, lately, what it sounds like is, it sounds like Goodell is okay with St. Louis and San Diego joining, and Goodell probably saying, well, hey, you know, since there's already a stadium in Northern California, you guys can share Levi Stadium, I'm believing, until something happens in Oakland. We don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you this. The San Diego and Oakland Raiders move to Los Angeles is probably so far-fetched that I do see St. Louis and San Diego coming together. And here's the reason why. There's more money between Spanos and, gosh, I'm forgetting the owner of the St. Louis Rams, but there's more money between those two to join than having Mark Davis with no money to do anything. He's just trying to piggyback off of a team And that's why I believe that Oakland will stay where they're at. You know, do we want them in Santa Clara? Goodness gracious, guy. You know, no. But if that's the best thing that we have going right now, I say, yeah, let's make that work until we can find a way to get our stadium built.
And is that the direction you think eventually they're going to go? Because at some point, you got to draw a line and say, we've had enough of O.co because there's no upgrades. The place is not nearly as nice as it should be. And, you know,
it's a dump. I mean, no, seriously. I mean, it's a dump, but, you know, it's our dump. And you know, and it's okay. We love O.co. And like I was explaining, the nostalgia, the fan base, the excitement that's there. I mean, we could play in a high school stadium just as long as our fan base is intact. You know, it doesn't make us any difference. But what you're saying holds water, Sean. And what I mean by that is there has to be a decision made. So coming at the end of December, the owners are going to come together and make the choice. I believe that the more logical choice is if you want teams in Los Angeles, which all the owners want teams in Los Angeles, it's just which ones. I believe that the most logical choice is to have St. Louis and San Diego in Los Angeles. And hopefully Oakland can find a way to come together with the city council and everything. I know that there's some talks right now of some projects that are going on, but hopefully they can come up with something to where they can have a stadium in the next 2 to 3 years.
So is a short-term option a viable option? And you mentioned it, sharing Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara while something new is built.
Yeah, well, it's the only viable option because, again, you'll have two teams in Southern California. You need two teams. It seems logical to have two teams in Northern California. So, you know, why not have those two sharing the stadium? And, you know, hopefully they can get something going in the next few years. So we've opened up the phone lines, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Man, we talked a lot of NFL, and man, I'd like to talk a little bit of basketball, but let's bring in a guest. We got a guest on the phone line. It is Gilbert on line one. Gilbert, welcome to On the Double.
Thank you. It's glad to be on the show here. I've just heard some positive things out there. You guys are over here fired up for the playoffs, obviously. A good guest call that was on there earlier today. But I think the Raider fans are pretty much just a couple Seahawks players short before they can start really turning up and being loud like the 12s. But other than that, you know, it's kind of interesting and historic to hear Sean Boyd giving the love to the 12s. I had to stop and call in. I was like, wow, this is monumental right here for this type of love to come down that way from the Bay Area. So, wow. Until Marshawn Lynch gets there, they'll be loud. But they are doing better than before, which is obviously a good thing. And it was one of my surprise teams. I didn't expect them to, you know, falter like they did last night, but you know, they could still finish productively well, and you know, it was a good season. But those Seahawks, that's what I've called in for. You see the turnaround, the revving up of the 12s is getting ready. So I'm definitely glad to be a part of that.
Well, man, Gilbert, thanks for calling in, and man, obviously you are one of our longtime listeners, and man. You know, here's one of the things why I give the Seattle Seahawks the credit is because, I'm a true fan in and out. And so, you know, whether my team's doing good or not, I have to recognize and I won't deny when a team's doing great. I'm not going to put blinders on. And so, you know, I when a team's doing well, I'm not going to say, well, they haven't played this team or they haven't played that team. It is what it is. Seattle's playing great. I got to give it to them. That doesn't mean that I'm on the bandwagon. That doesn't mean that a 916 Seattle NorCal is formed. It just means that I am giving credit where credit is due. Maybe the 12 should take note of that instead of having the blinders that their team is the only team that is the best team in the league, and then maybe we'll have a little bit more sanity going on around here.
Well, Gilbert, I can tell you this. You know, the Seahawks are going on their third run at a Super Bowl, trying to get to a third straight Super Bowl. So maybe the third time is the charm for one Sean Boyd to smell the salt and recognize.
Hey, Gilbert, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate your call. But, yeah, man, the Seattle Seahawks are doing some awesome stuff. And, again, I will definitely give them credit. You know, the Seattle Seahawks are a force to be reckoned with and trying to move on and all that cool stuff. I still think that the Panthers are still, you know, the team to beat. I'll just say that. But, I'm sorry. Hey, Gilbert, thanks for calling in, man.
Nice to have Gilbert calling in. 888-429-5471 if you want to be on the double. And Sean, I don't know if you noticed. I'm sure you did, even though you're a busy, busy guy. The bowl games were announced, and not one, but two schools from the PNW are going bowling.
You know, I did kind of see something like that. I believe that the Huskies are they down in Alabama? What bowl is it? The Birmingham Bowl? Is that the one that they wound up getting? No, sir.
Huskies and the Cougars will be playing in the state of Texas.
The
Cougars get the U, the University of Miami, on December 26th, and the Huskies get this one, get Southern Mississippi, of all teams, and they both play December 26th. And they kick off within 20 minutes of each other, so it's going to be tough. I guess the real Cougars are going to watch the Cougar game, and the real Huskies will watch that game. But, yeah, both teams get to go bowling. The Cougars would have liked to go to the Holiday Bowl. Would have been a little bit better of a bowl game for them and playing later in the season, but to no avail. But, hey, they'll take any bowl game at this point.
Yeah, hats off to both Washington teams. You know, Mike Leach has his team – had his team clicking up until the last game in the Apple Cup. And, you know, the Huskies did what they needed to do to put themselves in bowl contention, Chris Peterson. And so some awesome things, I mean, you know, that are going on in Washington. So hats off to both of those teams in the Pacific Northwest going bowling, and they're going bowling in Texas. Now, Sean Wally, there are just, you know, to make a quick pivot here. You know, we were talking about the Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Carolina Panthers. And, man, I these Panthers, man, again, I can't begin to tell you how tough of a team they are at 12-0. And, you know, you had mentioned the three Super Bowl appearances that the Seattle Seahawks have a chance to get to. You know, the Carolina Panthers, first team to win three straight NFC South titles. You know, this, they're doing nothing but developing themselves as a perennial team. The last undefeated team as we speak, does it pique your curiosity at all that these guys could possibly go 17-0?
Well, their schedule's pretty soft for the rest of the season. They get Atlanta twice, who's in a world of hurt. Seems like Atlanta hasn't won a game in 2 months. So it looks like it could be done. But, you know, any given Sunday, and the ball bounces funny sometimes, especially a football not being completely round. And so we'll see. Weather could be a factor as we get deeper into December and winter comes around. And who knows? A lot of the bounces have gone their way, and they have to when you go 12-0. And Carolina's a good team. They've got a good, if not great, quarterback. They have weapons. They've got a decent run game with Lacey Washington's own Jonathan Stewart, Timberline High School graduate, and, of course, Oregon alum as well. But, man, looking at them and the games that they've played, yes, beating the Seahawks with that late score to a wide-open Greg Olsen in the end zone in Seattle, they just don't strike fear in me. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they should. But
you're wrong. You're wrong. Yeah, I mean, because I think you're downplaying the fact that Carolina has earned the right to be a top team. And when you slight and say, yeah, well, you know, they beat Seattle, but it was the last set. Who cares? They beat Seattle. They beat Seattle in Seattle. And that means something. And when you lose year in and year out to a team that you feel, maybe Carolina felt like they're the better team when they were losing to Seattle. So I do believe that Carolina is stronger because of that. I don't think that they're a laydown because Seattle is ordained to walk through the playoffs now that they're winning. I don't think that is factual. I do believe that Carolina does have something to say about that. I believe that Arizona does as well. But we got another caller coming in.
Nobody has said that Seattle's going to walk through or that anybody is ordained. I'm just saying that the Panthers are good. Hey, they are. But it's not like I feel any team should be scared to play them.
I totally agree. Nobody should be scared. Otherwise, you don't make the playoffs. And so if you're scared of anybody, you can't make the playoffs. Opening up the phone lines, 888-429-5471. We've got a caller coming in. We got Phil on line two. What's going on, Phil?
Now, I think Don's been sipping on something, y'all. Happy holidays. This is Foo. What up?
We got Foo on the line from the 253. What's going
up,
down,
fellas? Happy holidays. Hey, look, right. Sean Wally, you know, you mentioned something about the ball bouncing funny and stuff like that. So let me ask you this, bro. Let me ask you about the Detroit Lions and the ball bouncing that KJ Wright bounced right out of the back of the end zone, and then also the phantom face mask against Aaron Rodgers that gave us the prelude to one of the best Hail Marys you'll ever see, and, you know, finishes. And just what a great weekend of football all the way around. Just fantastic finishes, fantastic games. It's been unbelievable.
Absolutely. Football is, there's a reason it's the number one sport in the U.S. And I mean, even tonight, a lot of people are watching this horrible Monday night game, and it's 9-6 Redskins leading the Cowboys right now. But yeah, that Hail Mary was as good as it was for the Packers. It was about as horrible a defense as you can play that the Lions put out there on the field. Number one, not getting a body anywhere near Rodgers, not having any of your receivers deep. And they also had, what was it, three or four guys in the middle of the field because they expected some kind of hook and ladder, crazy lateral play. Why would you guess that? Just put everybody, all you have to do is stop the touchdown. Put everybody at the goal line and don't let the guys catch the ball. It's ridiculous. But, hey, that seems to be Detroit Lion football, and unfortunately for
their
fans.
Or just have Golden Tate down there and push off, you know, and let the referee whatever. We don't, or, you know, have them just push the ball out of the end zone and the referee just dismiss the call because, oh, we don't want to talk about the referee. Let's keep it positive. It's the holidays and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, we already know. Mike McCarthy made a comment in the post game saying, oh, well, at least we know our guy caught the ball this time.
Yeah, well, you know what, Foo? You know, it's funny because, you know, karma catches up with you, and thank goodness Seattle got rid of Golden Tate because that karma followed him to Detroit. So he got a chance to see what it was like to lose on the last play of the game on a lucky, lucky play because it was lucky. But, man, that was heartbreaking to see a Hail Mary.
I'll take nothing away from Russell Wilson. I will say this. It seems like a quarterback every week this year, including both the first and second picks, Mariota and Winston have both thrown 5 touchdowns in a game. So I don't know if that lessens what Russell Wilson did last week. But that being said, you know, the Seahawks are playing better. I attribute a lot of it to Cam Chancellor's late arrival, therefore, translating to a late start for the team. The team really didn't get to, you know, he got through his training camp about a month or so back, kind of coincides with their current winning streak and whatnot. They've been very fortunate health-wise. They still have a daunting task in Arizona and the Panthers, I think the one thing that you guys failed to mention is just how well and how much everybody believes in Cam Newton, especially everybody that's in those locker rooms and in that city. That young man is playing beyond belief. And if you remember, you know, I think it was the beginning of this year, somebody asked him a question, and, you know, he was very honest about it. And he said, you know, I'm trying to do what nobody's ever done, you know, and he was just gave an honest assessment. You know, there's never been anybody my size that can throw the ball as hard as I can, and it's got my speed. And, you know, and I think that the car accident that he had a year and a half ago is, you know, opened his eyes. The light bulb has went off, whatever you want to call it. You know, you look at the Seahawks a couple of years back, Russell Wilson, they had that 7-9 season. You know, they had to go through their bumps and growing pains and stuff, and they had to get over their San Francisco 49ers, you know, whatever their big obstacle was, which led to a nice run. You look at Carolina last year, you know, last year they were the first team to ever win back-to-back NFC South titles. Nobody had ever done it. You know, NFC South, it's the Saints 1 year, the Falcons 1 year, you know. So anyways, this guy has led the Carolina Panthers to their third straight NFC title. They've already clinched that. So I think just, you know, take nothing away from Carolina. And no, nobody should be scared, but I think you should definitely have some respect because they came into Seattle and showed that, you know, they're taking care of their little obstacles one at a time and just checking them off.
Fu Man joining us here on the double. And for those who don't remember Fu Man, you've done some opening inserts for us on the show, and you've given us some updates. Hey, Fu, there's some things that you have been doing as far as recognition is concerned, and something that has grasped your attention, and that is the concussion issue in the NFL or in sports in general. And on your Facebook page, you had talked a little bit about the movie Concussion that's going on. You know, give our listeners a little bit of an insight on why that is something that you hold near and dear.
Well, you know, just even last week, guys, you know, like you had mentioned, last week I was, you know, privy to be down at the field and watch an amazing game between the Steelers and the Seahawks. As a Raiders fan, I sat there and just watched a really fun football game. You know, I guess at the end of the day, I was kind of glad the Seahawks won just because the Steelers losing helps the Raiders in the big picture. But the Raiders couldn't take care of their own business. You guys already talked about that, so I don't want to drown in that anymore. But, you know, just injuries in general. I posted a story, a good friend of mine, Dave Bishop, his brother works with vendors and stuff at ESPN. And he coaches Little League ball, as most of us either have at some point, you know, depending on what ages your kids are and whatnot. And anyways, coaching his 9-year-old kid, the other kid from the other team, you know, they're doing warm-ups, throwing the ball on the infield, and Dave's brother's walking back to the dugout, and he gets hit with the baseball. You know, long story short, baseball, he gets hit in the head. That didn't do much damage, but the fall that followed, he hit the back of his skull on some concrete. And so it changed not only his life, but his entire family's life for the last year, basically. And he wrote a very, very touching piece. You can find it on my Facebook page. But nevertheless, you know, you look at the kid Borland from San Francisco, you know, young kid, looks like he's, you know, especially for guys that have played football before, you know, and Nate Burleson and some of those guys talk about it quite in depth on the NFL. You know, they talked about Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he has nothing to prove. You know, he's pretty much proven his toughness, if you will. You know, that aura of whatever, you know, that football. You know, nobody's ever going to question whether or not Ben, kind of like Jay Cutler, if you will, a couple years back. You know, people question his toughness, his, you know, love for the game, his, you know, whatever you want to call it. Borland retired from the game. Roethlisberger self-reported the concussion. That's Ben Roethlisberger. If you're, you know, if you're McCown or Manziel and you're fighting for a spot, or Bobby Hoyer, You know, are you self-reporting that? You know, I'm not saying whether guys are or not. I'm just saying, you know, and you look, you know, Frank Gifford, you know, he just passed away and his family just, in that, you know, it's like I was telling a good friend of mine. I love football dearly. It's been good to me. But I don't know that it's going to survive what's going on right now and if it'll be around in 20 to 50 years. And, this, you know, it's just like when, you know, I look back at the old days, you know, and they're clotheslining people, they're wearing leather helmets, and, you know, it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it looked like a lot of fun back in the day, those black and white, you know, Dick Butkus and Dick Night Train Lane and those guys. You know, and it's just weird. You know, nowadays, they get, you know, I talked about the injuries, people getting hurt without being touched, you know, all the, you know, Achilles and ACLs and things like that. But the head injuries, they're trying to take care of it. It's ruining the game in many, many different ways. But if it's saving people's lives and heads or whatever, I don't know. You know, it's what are you willing to pay for entertainment? What are we allowed? What are we willing to allow as general public? I mean, you know, you look at the MMA. I remember when the MMA first started, and you know, the best thing that ever happened for it was John McCain saying that it's human cockfighting. You know, as soon as he said that, and you know, and that was well before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchats and all the instant social media that you have now. So, you know, MMA started somewhere that, you know, really, really tough place to be, you know, ground roots, grassroots of any sport. You know, they just had the MLS Cup yesterday, you know, the Portland Timbers in their fifth season won the MLS Cup. Well, you know, I'm not much of a marketing guy, but damn it, you know, they're doing their stuff on the last weekend of college football when they're announcing their playoff teams and bowl games. And you know, any NFL weekend on a Sunday is going to be a tough draw. So I don't know how much they care for the MLS, and I don't know how much soccer cares, but yeah, that movie Concussion, Will Smith's, like I said, one of my favorite actors. It's gotten a lot of controversy. You know, the NFL really did not sign off on this film. They didn't want that info out. You know, just the scheme, the landscape is changing, you know, just everything's changing. You know, today is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, you know, which I think is very relevant given the fact that we're talking about, you know, Syrians and refugees, and, you know, people forget what happened during Pearl Harbor. You know, people, you know, a lot of Americans are very proud of this day. The memories of, you know, I get that. As a country, I get that. But, you know, a lot of people, you go look at George Takei. If you guys don't remember George Takei, you know, Sulu from those Star Trek shows and stuff. But he's very social activist, or socially active. And, you know, he talks very detailed about his memories as an 8-year-old boy getting rounded up by the police from his house because he looked a certain way and put in internment camps, you know, after that Pearl Harbor incident. And, you know, it was a bad time in the world. And, you know, a lot of people think that everything's all groovy and gravy. So just, you know, take care, be blessed with your loved ones. Tell everybody that you love, that you do love them. Tomorrow's not promised. God bless you guys. And, yeah, definitely looking forward to that movie. I'm also looking forward to Star Wars, of course. I remember the original, which would be episode 4, I guess, because they've released so many others. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, man, injuries in the NFL are a concern. You know, you mentioned the injuries, Jimmy Graham, Marshawn Lynch. Same thing in Kansas City, you know. They haven't missed a beat, you know. Shekandrick West comes in there. Spencer Ware comes in there. Used to be a Seahawk. And, you know, they've really gelled. They had some late arrivals, too, because of injuries and drug suspensions or whatever. But I think a lot of people had Kansas City early season as you know, one of their picks for the AFC. I think they just had a late start. Minnesota guys, you know, I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm a Raiders fan. Everybody knows that. But somebody explain to me why nobody's talking about Adrian Peterson getting 8 carries. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care who I'm playing. If I have Adrian Peterson, who is still leading the league in rushing, even after his 18 yards on 8 carries, but he would have had 8 carries on the first 3 drives. I don't care if I went 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. He would have had 9 carries by then. That's just my personal opinion. Signing off. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week, and happy holidays. This is Foo. Peace.
Foo Man joining us here on the Double. And, man, Sean, it's always fun and interesting to have Foo Man calling into the show because you never know. You never know what you're going to get. Foo Man talking about concussions, one of the things that's near and dear to him. Man, Sean, when we give him the microphone, my goodness.
Can I wake up now? I took a little nap for about half an hour.
Man, some awesome insight. So here, that is a good question that he brought up, though, is with Adrian Peterson. What in the world happened? This guy should have had like a gazillion carries, but 8 carries. And, you know, you can accredit that to, you know, the Minnesota Vikings having to change, I guess, having to change their offensive scheme that early in the game. But 8 carries, that just sounds ridiculous for, you know, one of the best running backs in the league.
Well, he had his running attempts, but they also tried screens, and absolutely nothing was working. And, you know, it is crazy to think that the number one running back in the NFL is getting shut down at such a ridiculous pace. He's averaging over 100 and, I believe, 46, 48 yards a game, and he's gone over 106 times this season, and he couldn't find a hole if his life depended on it on Sunday against Seattle's defense, which they have a good running defense, and they're getting better, especially when you're in Minnesota on the road and you shut down the guy that's number one in yards in the NFL.
Yeah, I just think Minnesota got out-coached. I mean, if that answers Foo Man's question, they just got out-coached. They blinked, they flinched, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they paid for it dearly. Man, as always, it's good to have Foo Man on the Double here. But, hey, Sean, I want to talk about something, man. I want to talk about the NBA. I want to talk about my Golden State Warriors. Still undefeated. Who's going to lose first, the Golden State Warriors or the Carolina Panthers? Which are you betting on?
Wow. Just by sheer number of games, you'd have to say the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Because you're playing, what, 3-4 times a week?
Yeah, you know, I would say that too. But, you know, right now Golden State is in the middle of a 7-game road trip. And, you know, I think the tough part of that road trip is behind them. They played a tough Brooklyn team that has always played them close. They should have won the game in Oakland earlier this year, and we probably wouldn't even be talking about a streak. But Golden State took care of business against them. Man, they've got Indiana coming up, Milwaukee coming up, and Boston to close out the road trip. Nobody's ever gone 7-0 on an NBA road trip, and the Warriors have a chance to do that. And I was talking about, you know, different ways of winning, how Carolina's found different ways of winning, which makes them a legitimate team. This Golden State Warriors team has done just that as well. I'm so excited about watching these guys. Steph Curry, I mean, if you've had, and I know Seattle fans don't really take a liking to basketball up in the Pacific Northwest, but doggone it, you got to watch Steph Curry, man, because this dude is legit. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, he can get to the cup on you. He can boogie down the lane and throw it off the glass or anything. He's within range as soon as he crosses half court. And, man, if you, for those of you up in the Pacific Northwest, and if the Golden State Warriors are coming to Portland, circle that on your schedule. It is a must see. He is Michael Jordan right now. He is LeBron James. So when Steph Curry comes into your town, into your area, make sure you get out to it, because, man, he's phenomenal.
So what do you think about this, Mr. Golden State Warrior fan, Steph Curry aficionado? This morning on Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, Mike Salk asked the question to Brock Heward, Russell Wilson on fire, playing out of this world right now. Who out there in the sports world would you compare him to? Brock Heward unequivocally said Steph Curry.
Whoa. I didn't hear that. Did he say his reasoning why? I'm curious to know why he would say that.
It had to do with both carrying their team, both being on fire, both being great men on and off the field, family guys, that sort of thing.
Yeah. As far as characteristics are concerned, I can definitely see that. You talk about two men of faith. Steph Curry and Russell Wilson are that guy. If you're talking about leaders on the team, leaders of men that, you can rally the troops and put them on your backs. I can see that too. I'm just right now, I believe that Steph is on another planet. And this goes all the way back to last year, the beginning of last year when they made the run to win the NBA Finals. And, this year, these guys, the Golden State Warriors are supposed to be a team that, they got lucky. They didn't get the right, they got the easy part of the playoff schedule, even though they played 82 games just like everybody else. I don't know where people would get that from. And then this year, the amount of disrespect for the MVP of the league, I just think that Steph Curry, man, he is a huge draw. When he comes to your town, people are stopping at nothing to do that. Not taking anything away from Russell Wilson. I just don't think that when he comes to your town that you're looking to see Russell Wilson. You're looking to see the Seattle Seahawks. You're looking to see the Legion of Boom. Russell Wilson is a good quarterback, and he shows signs of greatness. He's just not a stop-the-presses type of person the way Steph Curry is, to where he can just make you think, man, just when I thought I saw everything, this happens. And so, I think it was a reach. I understand where Brock was coming from. I just think that it was a reach.
Well, we don't have enough time, seeing as we are into overtime here on the double, to get into that and debate that, because it would be a fun little battle back and forth for sure. But goodness, yeah, who knows if and when the Golden State Warriors will get one in the L column.
If things go well, Sean Wally, we're looking at a Christmas Day game to where LeBron James and company come into town, and the Golden State Warriors would look to get win number 33 and break the all-time NBA record of 33 straight by the 1971-72 Los Angeles Lakers, which, of course, is another team favorite of Fu Man, which is gone. But that would be awesome to see the Golden State Warriors do that. But, hey, none of it means anything. They can go 82-0. If they don't win the championship, it doesn't mean anything. So, all of this is exciting. But, man, I sure would love to see the Golden State Warriors win another title.
You mentioned King James on Christmas Day doing battle with the Warriors. The guy can probably buy a planet now with his lifetime contract with Nike.
Man, isn't that something? I mean, he can buy another planet. You're right. I mean, what were the numbers? Because, I know that they were comparing, Michael Jordan's sales in 1985. He sold $2 billion in merchandise and, broke the bank there, and which, had Michael start his own line of shoes and clothing and everything from here on out. But what are the numbers? Were they given exact numbers on what LeBron signed with Nike for?
Sean, the only thing I heard is that is the largest contract in Nike history. So he's being given more money than Michael Jordan has in one contract.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Because Michael is still Michael. There, there's Nike Beaverton, or there's Nike, and then there's Nike by Michael. Michael has his own section of Nike, if you know what I mean. So, you know, with the understanding that LeBron has signed a huge contract, I don't think his sales will ever eclipse what Michael Jordan is doing. This guy is going for life with the amount of money that he brings in. But, yeah, congratulations, though, to LeBron James on signing such a lucrative contract, whatever that money is. And, you know, these shoe manufacturers are really rewarding these players, especially NBA players. And, you know, we're talking on the lines of Steph Curry. Steph signed a huge, huge deal with Under Armour, which is exciting for him. And they gave him shares and a piece of the company for life to where his family is taken care of. So these guys are doing an awesome job. So hats off to LeBron James and Steph Curry for these big deals they got.
Well, Sean, a guy that has Northwest ties and California ties, we've touched on now and then on the show, former University of Washington head coach, former USC head coach Steve Sarkisian was released about a month ago for being unhealthy and his issues with alcohol. Now he is suing the University of Southern California for over $30 million.
Is it 30? I heard it was 12 initially, but it's $30 million? Man, you know, only in America can you, how do I put it? Make a fool of yourself. Let's just stay politically correct. Make a fool of yourself. Leave the University of Washington. Go down to USC for your dream job. Booze it up. Cause an embarrassment to the alumni. And do it on a repeated occasion. And get fired, and then you turn around and you have the gall to fire the institution that fired you for just reason. To sue the institution that fired you for just reason. Amazing to me. You know, I know that the guy has some problems, and don't get me wrong, I wish him the best as far as his recovery, and I understand that, you know, he has a problem. And that needs to be taken care of. But where in the world do you get off from trying to sue somebody because they're tired of you being a jackass at the institution that you were coaching and teaching leaders and trying to be leaders of men? I can't understand that. That's beyond me, Sean.
Well, I think the problem that the university might run into is the way they handled it and what they said. You know, the athletic director has said that Sarkisian was unhealthy and, you know, they made comments about the alcohol abuse and whatnot. And alcoholism is labeled as a medical issue and a problem in the U.S. So now Sarkisian and his lawyers are saying, you know, that's a medical issue, possible disability. So therefore, you can't remove him from his position because of that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, saying that USC was the ones that handled it different, or they should have handled it differently, or they handled it the wrong way. Was it USC that got on the microphone and talked to alumni drunk? I mean, really? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. When you have people like this, meaning Steve Sarkisian, God bless him, that he would have the nerve and the gall. USC didn't do that. Steve Sarkisian did that. He made that decision. I think, if anything, Pat Hayden went above and beyond to protect this guy, and this is the thanks he gets? A suit? A lawsuit? Because Steve Sarkisian felt that he was done the wrong way? My goodness, man. Really?
So I guess the University of Washington is going to sue Sarkisian for leaving the school high and dry.
Please do. I mean, if that's the case, you're right. The University of Washington has a viable case for doing so. I mean, my God. That's just amazing, man. That's amazing. I'm sorry. I got all roused up on that one. But, man, this guy, he's got a lot of nerve. A lot of nerve.
Good stuff, Sean Boyd. I love it.
Woo. Boy, you got me all roused up here in the holiday season. It wasn't supposed to go like this, Sean. You bring up Steve Sarkisian at the end of the daggone show, and now I'm all hyped up.
Hopefully, Sark stays away from the eggnog around holiday time.
Whew, man, I got to take a breather from that one. So, man, what's going on next with you and the SWX?
Well, we had a fun night on Tuesday in the Tri-Cities, Kennewick, Washington, a first high school basketball game of the season on SWX, and that was the Eisenhower Cadets from Yakima traveling to Kennewick to take on the Kennewick Lions, and I was able to be analyst for that game on your television screen in Eastern Washington, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun to be back on the mic and do some of the things you do with the NFHS Network and that we've done in the past with the Tacoma Thunder. And, you know, it was a good time to talk about those high school kids and what they're doing on and off the court and to get back in front of the camera. And, you know, all reports were positive. So hopefully we'll get more shots as the season rolls on.
So anything? Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you anything on the horizon here or on tap for you.
Another WHL hockey game Friday night. The Tri-City Americans will be broadcast on SWX, and I have been asked to work that game, most likely back on the camera, so probably right behind the boards and right next to the ice and seeing those hockey players do battle.
Well, that's good stuff, man. Good stuff. So, you know, of course, you're going to do it the way we do it, double S Express style, man, and that's the best way, man. So hats off to you and the stuff going on for me, man. I'm just going to be doing some NFL stuff. And you know, there's a couple of games coming up December 20th, so I got to make a choice if I'm going to work for Fox or CBS. And, you know, don't ask me which one because, you know, some of our Fox CBS affiliates are listening. Hey, I got to take a deep breath on that one. So and then we've got the Thursday night game on the 24th, so Christmas Eve. So it's going to be busy. Busy down here in Northern California. And just trying to make a little money so the kids can have the G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip, if you know what I mean, man. So, you know, that's what's going on for me.
Awesome, bro. Glad you're continuing to rock it in the Bay. And, yeah, it'll be a tough decision for you on the 20th, but I'm sure you'll make the right one and end up in the black hole as always.
You know it, man. So yeah, you know that's where we're leaning, of course. Man, it's been a great show, Sean Wally. Of course, we always have big time guests here on the double, and we had an awesome guest today. Of course, Chet Buchanan, blessing us with his presence from KLUC 98.5. And doing the in Las Vegas and doing the awesome toy drive. And man, it's always good to have Chet on.
You know it. And he's doing great things in Las Vegas for Southern Nevada. And man, check him out at Chet Buchanan on Twitter. And you can always listen to 98.5 KLUC at KLUC.com. Man, Chet Northwest Ties, his Seahawk love, and man, he wants to be back on the show more often, so we got to work on that, Mr. Boyd.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. And for our listeners who want to help out with the toy drive, you can go to helpsonb.org. Again, helpsonb.org. Find out what's going on with the toy drive down there in Las Vegas. And if you want to donate toys or money or whatever, everything is much needed and much appreciated. And of course, Chet Buchanan, a great, great person heading that. And so, again, HLPSONB.org to help out that organization.
Well, Sean Boyd, are you watching this Monday night game?
Yeah, it's incredible, man. That's why
the
we are
the final 2 minutes have been the entire game. It's like yeah. The rest of it didn't matter.
Yeah, you know, that's why we are closing out this awesome show, man. Here on the double, man, we'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to On the Double with the Double S Express. And, you know, if you guys want to continue to call in to the show in the future, you can call into 888-429-5471, or you can write into the show, Sean Wally. You can email us at, you know, our emails on the website. You can also catch us in the archives at bbsradio.com/DSX to get a hold of all the big time guests and entertainment that we've had on this show.
So let's not forget on iTunes for all those Apple lovers out there in the world.
That's right. You can catch us on iTunes as well. Well, it's been a great show, Sean Wally. And, man, as always, here on The Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. Unless you take that shot, we hope that it hits something but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally in Eastern Washington, up in the Pacific Northwest, Don Newsom in Paradise, California, yours truly at the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to nothing but the best, guys. This has been On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.